In today's fast-paced remote work environment, collaboration has become more than just a buzzword. It's a necessity. Testing teams often find themselves spread across different time zones and domains, making effective collaboration even more challenging. And traditional approaches to testing, which can sometimes feel isolated or disconnected, are evolving to embrace new methodologies. One such approach is ensemble testing, a collaborative technique where teams test together in real time, leveraging diverse perspective to uncover bugs and improve software quality. And today we'll explore more about it and how teams' productivity, but also it also fosters a culture of shared ownership and continuous learning. Hi everyone, welcome to another exciting session of Lambda Test XP Series. Through XP Series, we dive into a world of insights and innovation featuring renowned industry experts and business leaders in the testing and QA ecosystem. I'm your host, Kavya, Director of Product Marketing at Lambda Test, and it's a pleasure to have you with us today. Today's topic, collaborative remote testing and how to set up and run effective ensemble sessions, is all about discovering how to drive collaboration and innovation in remote testing environments. But before we get started, let me introduce you to our guest on the show, Andrea Jensen. Andrea's journey into tech began by chance in 2011, but her passion for testing quickly turned into a thriving career. Over the years, she's not only honed her expertise as a tester, but has also taken on leadership roles that have challenged and inspired her. Currently working as a test lead, Andrea brings a wealth of experience in cross-functional collaboration and innovative testing methods. Beyond her professional life, she is a tea enthusiast and a fan of Tolkien's works, which speaks to her appreciation for both details and storytelling. We're thrilled to have you here, Andrea. Thank you so much for joining us today. And in today's session, Andrea will take us through the concept of ensemble testing and its transformative impact on remote teams. So let's jump straight into the heart of the discussion. Andrea, it would be great if you can help us learn more about your journey and, of course, share your testing journey with the audience.
Hey, Kavya. Thanks for having me. Sure, happy to help. I'm happy to share what I know about ensemble testing, what my personal experience are, and what we learned as a team.
Awesome. So, let's jump straight onto the first question. Can you elaborate on the specific challenges that you faced in getting buy-in for ensemble testing, and how did you navigate those challenges?
Oh, yeah. Sure, I can. So the interesting thing is, before we started ensemble testing in the team, I tried different approaches to get the team closer together. It all started where we have been in the middle of the global pandemic called COVID. All have been working from home, and we haven't seen us for ages back in the days. And I felt like, would be nice to do something together. So first, we tried different approaches. None of them have really a long-lasting effect. They would be nice for the first time, the second maybe, but then it quickly dissolved. So I was coming across during the pandemic through the amazing testing community to the idea of mob programming, aka mob testing or ensemble testing or teaming, however you want to call it. And I thought, well, that would be something super interesting. I did not really ask for a permission to do it. I just did it. I'm a fan of ask for excuses later on or ask for pardon than asking for permission. So I did just set up a session where I invited everyone who wanted to join and didn't really reveal what we are going to do. I just said, hey, let's do something fun as a team. By coincidence, our director of engineering back in the days was participating. I did not know. He did not know. So the first session ran, and that was quite a success. It was a bit bumpy and rocky in the beginning. That's to expect. But eventually the session turned out very smooth and nice, and we all had a great learning, and we all had a good time together. So he instantly, in the feedback in the retrospective round, said, well, you know what? I like that. We should do this more often. And that was basically what I needed to get the momentum, to get the buy-in. And for me, it was by coincidence. If I should shoot any suggestions as people hearing this now, maybe you can try my approach. If that works in your team and your culture and your company, you know this way better than I do because you are living there daily. But you also could try in a small scale, just with a couple of friendly office people. You know that you can trust them. You can try something out in a small scale, kind of an experiment situation, and then see how it works. If that turns out well, maybe invite someone from the management when you need the buy-in. Or just start it on your own. As an agile people are a self-organizing, self-responsible team, you maybe also can try this approach.
Thank you so much, Andrea. That's a very interesting perspective. And of course, I think not asking for permission, but rather pardon, that seems to be something that, team leads across, the organizations can implement irrespective. And of course, thank you for sharing those challenges and how you address them. Moving on, can you also give us a breakdown of the absolute essentials for teams to have in place so that they can get started with remote ensemble testing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sure. So from my perspective, I would say it's the technical side, of course, because we are remote. So we need to adjust to these circumstances. What I would recommend from the infrastructural side or from the technical side is that you have good headset microphones. I think by now we all know how annoying it is if you're in an online meeting, five people trying to talk over each other and you can't understand a single word anymore. So good headset microphones. Then in the remote session, it is also important from the technical perspective, how is your tool? Is it a web tool? Can you deploy it somewhere on a server and everyone has access to it from their own machine? Is it maybe something mobile and you need to have really a device? Or can you emulate it? Or is it, as it is in my case, a desktop on-prem installation? So for our sense, what we did initially, I shared my screen and I also shared then the remote control of my computer. That is all nice and fun until some funny guy starts to open your command line and wants to format your C drive. I had this. He didn't hit the enter, but you really need to trust your folks. You're in the meeting. What you also can do is to set up a dedicated computer everyone can reach remotely and install it in advance. So that is also something I did later on for the sessions. As we moved on, I installed it in advance. Of course, if you are the host, if you're maybe the driver of the initiative, you need to keep an account that it is a bit of an extra time for you. So that is from the technical side. Then, of course, from the people side, there's also something to consider. So when we started, I had a little bit of a checklist for myself to feel safe. I'm a checklister. I had it next to my laptop, taking marks as I go. You can have this as kind of a structure. If you're getting started, how you want to organize the meeting. Give it a bit of a start, explain what is needed, and so on and so forth. That was something from that side. So that also everyone in the team knows what to expect in the 60 or 90 minutes, however long your session will be, will happen. So that is something I could recommend. And also from the people perspective, it depends a bit on your personal dynamics in the team, how you want to run the ensemble testing. And maybe think about this beforehand, because if you just get started right away with 5 to 6, 8, 9 people, it can get a bit of a mess. So think about in advance, do you want to have a time structure or do you want to have a rotating system? Can everyone who wants to talk chime in? What really particularly was good for us was to create a third role. So by default, you have two roles. You have the driver and the navigator. Maybe I elaborate a bit on that so that people who are not familiar with that know about it. Otherwise, you just move forward in the podcast and skip the next minute. So the navigator is the person who walks the folks through the interaction. What is the goal? What do we want to test? what we want to program. That goes for any job you want to do together. They explain on the highest abstraction level what they expect from the driver. While the driver is the person who controls the keyboard, the mouse, other input devices, and the application in general. So the driver just don't do anything on their own. They're just getting guidance how to operate the system, the application, the mobile app, name it. And then we had a third role, which I personally call the spectators. So in a remote setting, it's really hard to keep track if more than two people are talking at the same time in a meeting. So the spectators are the ones who are watching or observing the interaction between the navigator and the driver. And then after the interaction is through, you can do it based on a timer, or you just say, well, unless this test idea is explored, the question is asked and answered, we can move on. Then we just move the roles. So whoever was the navigator maybe wants to lean back and relax a bit, observe, and someone else jumps in the role, as well as goes for the driver. So that bit from the people side. Later on, I also figured out for newbies, I just created a one-pager. What is ensemble testing in our sense, how we understand it, and send it up beforehand. So if someone gets curious, I could just send it out rather than explaining myself over and over again. And then from the testing side itself, think about what do you want to test in the session. Initially, I started with something which I called like, hey folks, let's explore this new feature we just created, or we're just in the being of the creation. Let's get a first feedback. That was quite nice, but some people later on approached me and said, well, you know, you are a tester. I'm not. We do this in a cross-functional way. And I have a bit of troubles to understand when you say just explore this feature. What do you want me to do? So I reflected on that, sat down, thought about it, and I was coming up with the idea of test charters, mainly shaped by Elizabeth Hendrickson. If you don't know it, find her book, Explore It, Elizabeth Hendrickson, Test Charters. You will find a ton of information about that. So I wanted to give it a try and was starting to formulate test charters. I state them in our sessions as the mission to accomplish, adding some gamification to it. What do we want to do? With that, I got the feedback that they have a more clear understanding or idea what the test should be about. So that helped. So I would basically say the three factors. The tech, tell the people what they can expect, and prepare the session.
This is awesome, Andrea. Thanks for breaking that down so clearly. Sounds like these are also, surprisingly, these are also something that can be easily implemented within the teams. And I'm sure our listeners can refer to what you just shared as a mini playbook to start off with, right? Yeah. And if you can also walk us through a specific example of how you might adapt the ensemble testing method for a smaller team versus a larger one, given how we have listeners working from, working as a freelancer to all the way up to those who are in the enterprises in a large team setup.
Oh, yes, certainly. So when we started, we have been maybe around 8. Later on, as we iterated, news travel fast in our office. I believe the same goes for everyone, every office, every company. So more people got interested and joining. Sometimes we have been 12 to 15. And I'm not saying that is the ideal number of people in an ensemble testing, but I did not want to exclude anyone. So I was happy that people just wanted to test with me together. Because back in the days, we have been not too many testers in the organization, and I was just happy that I could show what I'm doing day by day. So if you are in a larger team, I would say they, and also if you're in the beginning, if they are not so mature, if you haven't done it for years, I would say the team probably needs a bit of more of a guidance, a bit more rules. Otherwise, it can quickly go into anarchy. And those meetings are not fun for no one. So we don't want to do that, right? At least I don't want. So what I felt worked well for us, and you could try this out and see and try out if it works for you or adapt to your personal needs. I started a bit of a running order. So we did not do it based on a timer. The timer felt a bit artificial to us, but for some teams, the timer, putting it to 5 minutes and then changing roles, works super good. However, what we did was we had a running order, and the first person was the navigator, ready to get the question into the driver. And once that was answered, I just was calling on the next person. So I made little checks. Every time they went through. And that really helped for the first couple of iterations. We maybe did it for the first 3 times. After that, some people know what it was, and the crowd got also a bit smaller because the new thing is known now, and now people are joining in who had the time and the interest too. And then with a smaller group, you usually have more of a group dynamic where people naturally chime in. Also, for a smaller group, I feel you maybe need less time and preparation, like the missions. If you're in a 5-4 people ensemble, you can quickly state what you're going to do here. People have time to ask clarification questions. If you're 15 people, if everyone asks a clarification question, you are almost done with your time. So I would say that is a bit I would recommend like creating a bit more guidance up front when you're in a bigger team. And bear in mind, depending on what you're testing and also on your setup, which you are using as a team, maybe more people in the meeting software itself might be more harder to handle. So think about that. Personally, I would recommend ensembles 4 to 8 people. Then by that, everyone can interact, has the time to also take over the roles. If you're more, then it is more likely that some people are staying a bit in the background, observing, which is fine. But the essence of ensemble is that you are working collaboratively together. So that's my bit of advice on that question.
Thanks, Andrea. I think it is pretty practical. So even within large teams, what you're recommending is if ensemble testing is happening between a smaller group within that larger group, that is more effective primarily. So as you mentioned, so 4 to 8 people team is what you have come across as the optimum size of it. Just out of curiosity, how do you also define the running order? Does it mean that people are interchangeably getting, I mean, this is just for my understanding, does it mean that people are getting, in one session itself, they are becoming the navigator and then they can move on to the spectator role and so on?
Yes, so the running order was just happening by coincidence. It was just the person I saw in the meeting. I put the name first of the person I saw. There was no hacking order, no alphabetical order, nothing. It was just for my own peace of mind in the beginning. How could we operate this that it is a nice thing for everyone? And also talking about the roles. Certainly in every ensemble session, everyone can take over any role. So depending a bit on the tech setup, if you share your own computer and want to trust your people enough to give them remote control, or if someone has the access to the dedicated testing machine. Sometimes people chime in on short notice joining, and then we have not the time to set up first the IT, the log in for the test environment. So in that sense, they probably are not the driver in that session for the moment, but they can be the navigator and spectator. Whenever you have all the access, when you have it installed on your own computer, we just take on any role. And usually we try also to change the driver role quite frequently. Although a funny story, I had once someone who was like observing a bit in the beginning because she was not too sure if such a technical thing is something for her. She's based out of the sales team, but was joining out of curiosity. And of course, I invite every profession to join because that is what the ensemble testing makes so powerful in my understanding. And she was a bit looking in the background, observing. And after a while, she said, well, you know what? Next time, I think I can be the driver. So the next time happened, she was the driver, But she did not want to give up the role at any time. So it ended up that she was running the entire software for 60 minutes in a row. I always checked in like, hey, do you want to move? No, I'm fine. I'm enjoying this so much. I don't want to stop. But generally, you move the roles.
Sorry, I was on mute. Thank you so much for sharing that story. Moving on to the next question, how has implementing Ensemble testing impacted your team's efficiency and effectiveness in delivering high quality software? I'm sure this is one question that a lot of test leads and QA leads think about.
Yes, that's a great question. Although a very tough one for me personally, because now I think when we think about effectiveness, efficiency, everyone in a testing position or a director position thinks about, oh, we have KPIs here, right? So how can we measure the effectiveness? Sorry to disappoint, I don't have any KPIs tracked. Back in the days when I started, I had no idea that we're going to do this more than one time. And I also had, back in the days, not the interest in to doing it for the sake of KPIs. So I cannot tell the silver bullet that it will increase your efficiency by X amount of percentage. But what I can say is to us in the team, or not only in the team, because the team is like, it's a different set of people always when we do the sessions. I feel that it has impacted us on three different layers. It is on the product layer, of course. It increases our quality because if we do it together, we find more, I don't want to say bugs, because it's not always a bug. Sometimes it's a design flaw. Sometimes it's just something which is working fine, but is far away from reality how our users need that. So we just made the use and the sense and the purpose of our software better. And of course, we found some bugs. But it also impacted us individually. So whenever I'm doing a session, I learn something. And you learn something and you share your knowledge with others. So this happens in every single Ensemble testing session I've ever part of. And I think that will continue because learning never stops. So that is a really great thing. And also in the team or in the culture, we get a lot of training. We get hands-on communication training. No matter if you want to go to a communication course or not, if you are in an Ensemble testing session, you just get it. So, like, give me an example. If the navigator usually has the idea of like explaining the thoughts on the highest level of abstraction, tells the navigator to load the setting file into the application, and the navigator stays silent and does not move anything, there's clearly a feedback. Then that driver does not understand what the navigator wants. So then the navigator gets the feedback like, maybe my explanation was not clear enough. So they could ask like, hey, do you know how to load the setting file in our application? And then the driver could say, no, never done that. Where's the entry? So by that, you learn a lot about your team, how every individual communicate. And talking about communication, it's not about only to be understood, but also we are now international teams. A lot of people working remotely, having team members on different continents. It also is a lot of language which we use. So sometimes maybe you use a word and the other person is just not used to that. So you can help to clear any doubts and share the clarification alongside. And then there might be people in the room, in the virtual room in our case, who have not heard about that themselves, but so think, oh, okay. So the driver, they have the really much domain knowledge, but not so much maybe software knowledge, but the navigator can explain this very well. So you know also who to approach later on with certain sets of questions you may have in your day-to-day life.
Thank you so much, Andrea, for explaining that. What I'm also able to understand is that Ensemble testing framework as a whole, it also keeps evolving within the team as the team sort of comes together working on various projects. Is that right? Is that the right understanding?
Yes. I mean, there's literature outside. And when I say literature, I'm talking about practitioners setting up guides and ideas, how they do that. There is no judgment if you do it in a different style, if that works for your team. I also adapted it very much for our personal needs in the team or for the organization. I mean, initially when I started, there was nothing out, not much out for remote ensemble testing, but we have been in the pandemic, so we needed to adapt how to do this in an online setup. There is clearly some publishing outside where you can go through, where you can see what works for you, and then pick the bits and pieces you can adapt for your team. The only thing, coming back to one of your initial questions, what is the essence of installing ensemble testing? I would say the essence is still that you have a driver, a navigator, and some other folks, because if you only have a driver and navigator, you're just a pair. And to set up the technicalities so that everyone potentially can take up each of the roles. So that's for me the essence, which is not really negotiable. But everything else, you can adapt it to your team's needs. Some maybe run ensemble sessions just for a quick interaction to clarify things. Other teams do it maybe 8 hours a day. So whatever floats your boat.
Thank you so much. So it also means that it sort of goes beyond collaboration at times, with the focus on, you know, so many different factors so as to drive the quality. Moving on to the next question, how can teams maintain momentum and keep ensemble testing as a valuable practice?
Yes, that's a great question. I'm asking myself at the moment. So we started in 2020 with doing that. Last year, I took over a new role, which allows me less time to motivate others to do ensemble testing. So what I feel or what I realized at the moment is that you really need to have someone who's just feeling responsible or who's the driver to initiate that we have this kind of collaboration, that we have this get-togethers and setting up sessions. I would love to say, well, once the team is used to it, they just do it on their own. Maybe one day it will happen. At the moment, we here are not mature enough to do that. I know teams which just do this naturally. They just sit together every morning and then they start the ensemble. In our sense, that is not happening. And I'm now working on different ideas how to get the momentum up a bit. Because to be honest, at the moment, I don't spend so much time in running ensemble sessions. So it's a bit like on pause at the moment. So I feel, especially in the early days, you really need someone who has the time and the dedication to do that. And time is one aspect, but you need also really to have the willingness to do it. Otherwise, if it feels like a burden you need to do, also the team will know. And then it just feels like a job you have to do to make a check mark on. And personally, I feel that is not fair for the folks, not for yourself, and not for the ensemble testing idea. Still trying to figure out. If I have the silver bullet, I will let you know.
Absolutely, that would be great. And of course, our audience would know where to reach you. I will, of course, be adding your LinkedIn. So it would be great if you stay in touch with our audience. And thank you for sharing. It is a very thoughtful approach on how to keep a sustained engagement in a way. And the idea of ensemble testing being, bringing different factors again, as I was mentioning in the previous question, right? So this collaboration, this communication, and then there's this, joint mission to solve a task at hand. At the end of the day, matters that you're keeping things very aligned with the team's need. And speaking of which, I also wanted to explore how this fits into the specific challenges of the maritime domain itself, what of your team's challenges does it help tackle?
Mm-hmm. So speaking about the maritime industry or the shipping domain I'm working in, mm-hmm. You need to have kind of a certain set of domain knowledge to understand our software, because we produce software basically for merchant vessels, for stowage experts, stowage officers who plan how the vessel will be packed once it sails the ocean. Also, we have other tools checking emissions compliance and so on. So that requires some understanding about the domain, about their particularities. And not everyone who walks out of university with a CS degree has naturally this knowledge. On the other side, there are people who have the knowledge because they sailed the oceans, they are seafarers, they maybe stowed containers for a couple of years in terminals, or they worked hands-on in the yard and know how to build a vessel. They maybe have not all the computer science knowledge. So in our company, those folks come together. I'm basically from the business side, but not from a domain expert, from the maritime industry. Before, I was working in different domains. And when I joined the company, yeah, I know that a vessel did swim, but that was it. I had no idea about the particularities. So what I feel what it helps a lot is to gain more understanding about each other's domain or field of expertise. So I learn a lot from the developers because they show me little shortcuts in the system or show me little shortcuts running, operating the system I did not know before. While I share with them what from a tester's mind or from a tester's perspective, I would try out to see if the software is any good. And then we have the domain experts also joining our sessions once in a while, who are seafarers, work at yards, know how to build a vessel, so they can explain us or tell us, well, your new feature is nice, but it has nothing to do with reality. In reality, we do it differently. Or let me tell you about how a turnbuckle in the lashing system looks like. And for the first time, I was like, a turnbuckle? I have no idea. But then they explain us what is the characteristics, what do we need to know. They share pictures, they share stories. So we learn from each other. And that is also really the great thing about ensemble testing. So especially if you're working in a domain where you need a lot of background knowledge to understand if the software you're testing is any good, I would recommend pair up or group up, collaborate with a group of domain experts. And yes, in the onboarding phase, you have conversations with them. But in the first 6 months, you cannot grasp all the knowledge. You will learn it on the go in the years to come. So if you do the sessions regularly, you will learn a lot from each other.
It's incredible to hear how ensemble testing also addresses very niche challenges in such a collaborative manner, especially in specialized domains such as maritime. You know, that's not a mainstream industry that you can think about implementing. So kudos to you and your team, of course, for implementing it within the industry. And looking ahead, what's next for remote ensemble testing in an evolving remote work landscape? As you mentioned, right, you started in the COVID during the pandemic period, and now we are here 4 years later. How do you see remote ensemble testing evolving with the rise of remote work?
I think ensemble testing is a great chance, because things changed. Now, yes, some companies want to have the folks back to the office, but not mm-hmm. all the companies. And some of the companies move to kind of a hybrid mode, where you're some days maybe in the office, some days you're not there. My company just introduced us to a work from anywhere policy, where we can spend a couple of days in a year working from wherever we want. So that days I'm clearly not going to the office then. So it creates the possibility and the opportunity to collaborate, to team up with folks which are in a different part of the world. We are spread organization around different continents. So for me, it has the beauty that I can pair up with my team members in the Indian office, or I can do it also in the folks who are living in the Americas. Having sessions together, it just spans continents. Although, or you just meet up with your colleagues who are just working from home these days because they cannot make it to the office. So that is something I really see as a great evolving idea. Like I said, I gave someone the remote control of my computer and he wanted to format my C drive. That is a risky thing, right? So maybe we can have access controls which just limit the access to a certain application or something like that. Also, I feel remote ensembling is something that just not goes away. I think it will evolve over time. And I hope, it's my sincere hope, and I'm trying, I can do my fair share to that, that it will be kind of more of a practice for new people joining the IT and the testing field, that this is a way of how we can work in the future, not just sitting alone at our desk and throwing pull requests at each other, but just doing it together.
That's a very interesting approach and outlook, Andrea. And just wanted to add to my previous question, what new tools do you think might enhance the remote collaboration? Mm-hmm.
So as I said, the meeting tools, if they could do a bit more, yeah, that would be super nice. Mm-hmm. And also, maybe we can think about how we can better share the software we create with each other, so that everyone can access it. We not need to set up a test computer somewhere in our server system. Everyone needs to have access controls to it. So everyone needs to have a login. We need to ask our lovely IT people to create the logs ins, because that always creates a bit of an upfront effort. And you always need to remember that. And maybe it takes a couple of days to get started. I believe with more and more applications going into web-based applications, into cloud computing, that also would get easier. But two vendors, don't forget the folks which are still working on on-prem applications. They are there and they will be there. Some are there for 30 years and they not just go away within 2 months. So something like that, that makes it a bit easier to create a joint platform maybe. That would be something I would really love to try out.
Thank you so much for sharing that. That's some, again, a great insight. As we wrap up today's discussion, I just want to mention that it has been such an insightful session, Andrea. Really thankful for you for joining us today and sharing all practical advice on ensemble testing in remote environments. And I'm sure your stories and strategies would definitely provide our audience with a fresh perspective on how collaboration can actually elevate the quality of software and strengthen the team dynamics. Really appreciate it, Andrea. So to our audience, thank you for joining us today. We hope you found it as engaging and informative as we did. Those who are listening in, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and stay tuned for more episodes in the LambdaTest XP podcast series. Until then, keep testing. Thank you. Thank you so much, Andrea. Really appreciate this.
The pleasure was mine.